this morning. Amen. Father, I just thank you again for your word. I thank you for what you were saying and what you were trying to accomplish here in our lives, Father. And I see your hand in what you were doing, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would just hear what it is you were saying to us this morning. We would receive your word. We would listen to what it is that you have put here in these verses, God. And that, Father, the wisdom that we would gather and the knowledge that we would receive and the things that you would reveal to us, God, that we would understand what you are trying to get at. That there is a deeper thing that you are doing in our lives that is not about what we are doing personally or how we are living in completion to a certain effect. But there is a greater purpose that you have called each of us to that is beyond ourselves. And that, Father, we need to be on board and we need to hear your voice. So, Lord, I pray that we would be able to receive this message this morning, that, Lord, that you would have your will, and that you would have your words spoken this morning. We give you all glory, all honor, and all authority in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this series, again, going back into a framework of understanding and going from last week to this week now, we are trying to figure out what has happened to us as the church. Because again, the church is not a building. The church is us. Okay? And where that church has just evaporated and why it has evaporated. And if we recall from last week, we went over basically the symptoms of the absence of the church, and why that is being felt is pretty much just because the church really doesn't know what it's doing anymore. Its existence, its purpose, the meaning for why we are who we are and what we're to do. And we started that off with a very basic question. What was the question from last week? Who recalls? Nope, that was the main subject of the series, but there was a question. Do you actually love God? Do you actually love God? Because again, if we love God, then we will do what he's called us to do. But one of the biggest problems we run into is that people who profess to love God, what they end up trusting or what they end up relying on is the man of God to speak on God's behalf. I don't know about you, but that takes a lot of faith, does it not? I am standing here in a position that not many people want to rise or step into. Because not only does it come with a great amount of responsibility, because you are in turn as a shepherd responsible for the sheep God give you, all right? But in second to that, you are responsible to answer for what God says and how he says to share it, and understanding that with that, people are going to take everything you say and go, but that's the gospel. I am here to tell you, I am not the gospel. I am here to tell you, I am simply a messenger. And I try very hard to do my best to take what God says and give it to you in a palatable form so you understand it. But entirely, the ability for one to have a relationship with God is not predicated on the pastor being the liaison for that relationship. That is determinative to you being in the relationship with God himself. My job is just to help you build that and establish that relationship and trust the shepherd of shepherds, right? Remember, Jesus says he's not just the shepherd, but he is also the door. Right? So if we understand these things, he is all things in pertaining to the entirety of what is important to his sheep. Protection, the security, the feeding, all those things. My job is just simply to go, here, I'm doing this, but it comes from him. He's the one you really want to have that with. So as we get to this next question, and we get to this point of understanding this next question and where this is going to come into play, it's imperative that we grasp two things. One, we have to be honest. If we're going to get anywhere in our journey with God, it's going to start first very much with being transparent or being honest. Now, a lot of people have a very hard time bringing those things like, okay, I'm not doing a Catholic confessional. I'm not asking for anybody to get in the box and tell me your sins. Okay. However, the transparency I am asking for, or that I am looking to see in the lives of the people, is that we are being truthful and real about where we are and who we are and what we are professing in our faith, and whether or not that is truly aligned with the plans and the things God has set for us. And if it's not, then what do we have to do? We need to repent, and we need to get on his page. Because when we made an agreement with God in taking on Christ in exchange for our life, we now have his life, and he now lives through me. That it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That agreement means not me, but him. So I have to die so that he may live. Well, if that was the truth and that was the case and that was the reality of the true Christian believers of today, then the church wouldn't have a problem, would it? But it does. So turn with me to Jeremiah 29 chapter, one verse, simple verse, verse 13. You may know this. You may have heard it before. You may not have known it was Jeremiah, and that's fine. But this verse states and says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart." Your version may say it is slightly different, and that's okay. Content, context, all the same. When we are talking about this next question, and I will present that question to you today, which is, do you hear God's voice? When we understand, first and very first thing, God is always speaking. If you do not hear him, it is not a him speaking problem. It is a you listening problem. Jeremiah is pointing this out in very plain English. You will find him when you do what? When you seek him. But you got to seek him how? It's not simple, right? It's not like somebody playing hide and seek, right? And you play hide and seek and you go, all right, turn around, and you're going to count, and you get to 10, and you turn around and you go, okay, I'm going to go find you. And you go, I couldn't find him. And you walk away. Worst game of hide and seek ever. And I feel bad for the guy who hid because you didn't even try. But if we're seeking God as he has called us to in this verse with our whole heart, what does our whole heart mean? What is the representation of the verse in the meaning of whole heart? Okay, we could break this down into multiple ways. I'm not doing a Bible study breakdown and getting all liturgical on us. But what I am going to say is that when we understand whole heart, whole being is another way you could see this translated as. Okay, when we see this, this means it is your everything. It is your entirety. It is with everything you can possibly muster. I will tell you the biggest problem currently plaguing the church is the issue, or the propensity of this issue, which is where we as believers in Jesus Christ have the attention span of a gnat when it comes to the things of God. And when it comes to pressing into the deeper things of God, we give the least, and I mean the absolute least amount of effort. Does that sound like one who is seeking God with their whole heart? All right. Then how can we profess to find God and hear his voice and know what he is saying if the effort applied to go and do so is non-existent? Further this more with the understanding that God is also a gentleman who will not come and contest your free will. You still have to freely choose to want to go and invest in a relationship with God Almighty to hear his voice. If you don't, you won't. And that's as very simple as this message will get. You could summarize the entirety of everything that I'm about to preach on with your ability to hear God falls on you. Don't. And because you don't, you won't. Now, the reasons as to why you don't, well, that's a bigger message. 90% of believers in Jesus Christ will not go and talk to God Almighty because they feel what? That they will have judgment for either, whether it be things that they have not confessed or hidden sin or any of the above. And so they do not go to God to hear his voice because they are mortally afraid that the voice they will hear will be judgmental and condemning. Fact. If that is true, then why did he die? Because that's where you were before Christ even came. But that's not what Christ died for. Is that not true? And the process or the way that we now come to the Father is not to the Father directly through a process of atonement that meant we needed animal sacrifice to have a priesthood stand in that place for us because we were never worthy and never could be counted worthy. Jesus died so that all who come through him now are all worthy. Because it is not about what you do that makes you worthy. It is about what he has done that has made you worthy. Amen? Okay, so here's where this gets even better now. Turn to Hebrews, and you'll see where this gets more interesting. In his very first chapter, Hebrews, can't turn all of that with the string here, says this, and I love how mine's titled, it says, God's supreme revelation. Supreme means what? There is nothing greater. It is the greatest revelation ever given in the history of the world. I think that's kind of important, isn't it? That kind of maybe even makes Hebrews like the most important book of the Bible if you go by that standard alone, right? And it's the first chapter. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Full stop. This is now giving us a clear delineation of the method to which when we read in the prophet, what the prophet was speaking of in that process, correct? Because that prophet, Jeremiah, is speaking on behalf of God, right? He has been chosen, selected to hear God intimately and personally because he maintains a lifestyle to be able to approach God in said manner, yes? Now, in doing so, he hears voice of the Lord because he comes and he presses and seeks the Lord with his whole heart, the Lord speaks. And as in such, he is encouraging, and I love Jeremiah, because what is he doing? He is encouraging the people to do just as he does. How's that work out for Jeremiah? About as good as it does right now for the Church of Jesus Christ today. Not so great. Because people don't go and seek God with their whole heart. People don't go. They resist. Okay? So, when you have that ability, but you don't go, the reason we've already kind of uncovered in the current standard or current today is because there's this fear of condemnation and judgment, right? But we're just pulling off this right off of the start. Verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who are we speaking of? We are speaking of Jesus Christ. And this now we understand that what God is revealing, the supreme revelation that is here, is that the method that of old was handled through the prophets now is handled through the Son. So our ability to hear God comes through whom? Christ. Not arguable, not hard thing to grasp, not really even difficult to understand. if one has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he is now the indwelling person in you, how do you communicate with God the Father? Through Christ the Son. So when God speaks, he speaks to you through Christ. And you can hear that voice at any time. As so God speaks. And so as I've already predetermined through what God I know and how I know of him, is that he is always speaking. And if Christ is in you, then guess who else is always speaking? Now here's a bigger issue. If that's such a close-lit torch in your heart, and you know him, and he's always talking, how much of it are we actually listening to? So now we get to another part of the problem. Why is this so difficult right now for the body of believers of Jesus Christ that call on his name, that identify themselves as Christian and believe and hold these things to be true, do not hear the voice of the Lord, even though they have accepted that which now communicates in them and through them constantly? Well, I prayed about that. When the Lord brought this up, I prayed about that and I said, Lord, how would you express this? How would you explain this? How would you reveal this and show this? And he made it very simple. It's real easy. I want everybody at this moment in this house currently to just start talking to somebody that you're sitting next to. Just start talking. Just start talking. I'm just going to start talking. Yeah, if you're talking to somebody, and I want to talk to you, Becky, and this conversation's going on right now, and I'm asking for you to just come to me. Just talk to me. I want to talk to you. No, but do you hear how everybody's talking? You see how this is going on? I'm talking to you right now. Is it hard to hear me? Could it be hard to understand? No, it would be better if everybody did talk louder, because Becky can hear me clearly, right? But it's okay. All right, pause. Everybody pause. Everybody pause. Everybody pause. All right. Now, if you put yourself in that place and you surround yourself with noise and distractions and things, and God himself is talking to you, you have put yourself in a place where you have to choose. Which voice do you want to hear? Furthermore, the more you are listening to other things, I don't know about you, but I know this for me. My wife and I will have a conversation, and there are times where she'll call me on the phone and I'm talking with other people, and she will literally go, I'm not going to do this with you. I'll see you when I get home, because I don't like fighting for your attention. Sound good? Is that about right? Okay. Which, fair. I love this example in my own personal life because it reminds me of exactly what God is going to do with us. If you are so preoccupied with somebody else and something else in your life, he is not going to fight for your attention. Why can I say that? Go back to Jeremiah. Does Jeremiah say that he will come and he will seek you with his whole heart? No, he put that on you to do, because he is always present. He is always available. He is ready to have that time and that conversation at any point. You are the one who has to drop all the other things and give that person the attention they deserve. If you surely value the relationship you have with God, as you should, that should not be a hard decision. Yet, it is. Now we get to the second reason why that's the issue. So yes, there's the noise and the static. The other reason is, and I'm going to pick on you, Jonathan. I need you to stand up. And I need you to go outside the building. Actually, no, do you one better. Just go into the back. Okay? Go into the back. You can go in the kitchen if you want. That's fine. Okay? Now, I'm going to take on the role of God. And I'm going to try and have a conversation with him. And this is how God's going to talk. And he's going to say things. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to spend some time with you. I need your attention here. There's something coming up. It's urgent. And I really want to reveal this to you. I want to let you know what's coming so you can prepare, so you can plan, so you can purpose this. You might have to go get him now. Yeah. Cause I don't think he's going to hear a word I just said. And that's the point. If we separate ourselves or create so much distance, I'm going to wait so he can actually hear this. It's only fair. But can't subjugate him and not actually let him get the part that he missed. How much of what I said did you hear? Not a lick. Okay. Distance. The further away we put ourselves from the voice of the Lord that is speaking to us, and you might be like, well, wait a minute, pastor, Jesus lives in my heart. Oh yeah, that's true. And he's there. But you want to know how you create distance to the Lord in your heart? You put him in a box and you close the door. And you go and you travel and you go about doing your life and your business, but you don't actually go back to him until, hey, Jesus, I need you. Cool, thanks. Close the door and go back to life as usual. If you want to maintain a long distance relationship with Jesus, every time he talks, you aren't around to hear because you don't hear him. And so two factors will come in that will muddle the field of your ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And those two things are a lot of distraction or noise. That could be a simply put, you have created a mess of things around you that all require your attention, and take that attention and absorb it to an exhaustive point so that you do not have the time nor the place nor the ability to actually sit and hear the voice of the Lord. Or two, you have shut him out and quarantined him in your life to a place where you get to travel and go and do a whole bunch of stuff without him. And so when the time needs that he has to reveal or speak or do things, you hear none of it until you have returned to the place where you believe now is the time for God. And that's even more revealed in the reality of church today, which a lot of people believe that church for them is what? A one-time occurrence on Sunday. And that's it. And that's all they get of God. One Sunday. And we called them EC Christians for a reason, because they only show up twice a year. Easter and Christmas. That seems like a long time of waiting before you heard God, even though he's still talking every day, every hour of the day. Now let's take a look at this even more. Go to John 14. 25 and 26. Now check this out, because this is really awesome. Because here now we have God speaking to the prophets on behalf of the people, to now Jesus coming in, taking that place where now the direct line to God goes through Christ. Amen? Okay? Remember that old Verizon commercial with the guy at the satellite dish running around? Can you hear me now? Remember that? Okay. Now, take a look, because here's the satellite dish. These things I have spoken to you, verse 25, while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Okay, so now it's through Holy Spirit, who is now taking the role of mediator, which is really what Jesus is. He is our mediator, and he has taken the role of mediator. But here's the part that I think is absolutely amazing. What is he doing? Is he speaking on behalf of Jesus? He is not. He is bringing to remembrance the things that he has already said. Now, this is where I had to turn and kind of spend some time just putting myself at the feet of the Lord, going, wait a minute, but you are constantly saying these, speaking these things and all these things. I don't understand. Help me understand what you're meaning here and what this meaning is, because I want to be on the same page with God. And the Lord revealed to me and he said, do you understand that nothing has changed from the beginning when he spoke to now when he speaks? And that the things that Jesus spoke were the same things that the Father had spoken already. So the need to say anything different or more is gone. Really, what we need is to remember that which he has already said. And I go, well, hold on a second, but there's a lot of things that are happening in the world and all that stuff. He's like, do you not understand? I could care less what is going on in the world. I care about what's going on in my kingdom. That's a full stop, because guess where we all end up? If we're calling on the name of Jesus, we should be only worried about the things that are pertaining to the kingdom. How many people want to press into God to hear his voice so that they can learn more about what's going on in the world? That ain't where he's at. The world can continue to evolve, which it's not. It's devolving, okay? And think it's got its stuff together, when in reality, they're the furthest thing away from the kingdom, and the kingdom hasn't changed because it's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So the words that Jesus has spoken is no different than the words that God spoke initially. And everything he is saying today is the same as then. What has changed? Nothing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Has that changed? No. Why do we have to change it? Is that the gospel? Absolutely. Why do we have to change it? It doesn't need changing. The world wants you to change it to adapt to all different types of gender ideologies and all kinds of garbage. That doesn't matter. That's not what God said. Jesus doesn't need us to have an updated vocal lesson. He needs to bring us back to just what he has already said. Hence the need for a helper. So now we have this setup that God has given to us as a provided method for us to be on the track and the same page with him, to be able to know and hear his voice, predicated on first step. One, who's the responsible party member to get that done? We are. We have to seek him, right? The method through which we now have to seek him, given this updated itinerary, is we need to be able to recognize the full authority and domain of Holy Spirit as our mediator to God through the Son, is that everything that the Holy Spirit reveals and brings to us, which is through what we call divine revelation, that he brings those things to us to lead us back to Christ. Okay. Pop quiz. Jesus is the Word. So when the Holy Spirit is going to bring you back to the things that Jesus said, where's the easiest way to figure that one out? So when you're hearing something and you're not sure if this is God or not, where should you go find out? And if it confirms, then that means it is. So you know to obey. You've already listened. Now you know to obey. You know what's really awesome about this? You can pregame this. You know how you pregame it? Spend more time in the Word. That time when the communication comes, guess what? You're not on a time delay. You can respond immediately, which is good, because last time I checked, some of the things of God are requiring a quick time of attention. But here's where this gets really good. Because, well, at least it gets good for me. I don't know about you guys, but it gets good for me. If we go to John 16 now. These two verses are, in my opinion, where we see the biggest issue currently in Christendom today, and why we don't understand what, why, and how God is speaking to us. We there? Now again, perspective, just a little bit of an understanding, but Jesus is revealing himself and revealing to the disciples that his time is coming. Okay? And at this point, Jesus answers them and he says, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered." And I want you to underline that in your Bible if you do that. Highlight whatever. "Each to his own and will leave me alone." And I don't mean that in the, just leave me alone. But they will literally flee. And I think that part, leave me alone, is really indicative, because it doesn't, it, this just was not Christ expelling something about feeling like you're going to all bail out on me and you're going to leave me to hang, literally. And you're not going to come and help. He knew that had to happen. So this has to be, again, Jesus speaking more prophetically than we never or usually gave him credit for doing, which he did all the time, FYI. In that this current point where he is speaking, what he is saying to us is talking about something that will occur that's even greater than the 12 just not showing up. Denying as Peter did. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's bringing something deeper, which is about the reality that he is going to make a provision and he is going to go to do something that God has brought him to the place to do for a greater call than himself. To call all of his children back to him and to cleanse them of all unrighteousness and sin. That he will do this. But even in what he is about to do, people will leave him alone. And that they would scatter. And I think that's going to be really key to this. So just again, highlight that. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." I want to point this out because here's the catch. The biggest producer of the noise and static in each of your lives comes from the world. And the reality of this is that he has overcome the world because he wants to be the single soul voice that you hear in the wilderness. Because what has happened? You have scattered. And now here's where this gets really good. Go to James. Thank you, Steve. Is that right? One through eight. You put the two together. I was going to say, that's not right. It's one through eight. So you have to rely on me today. It's a dash. There is a dash there. All right. "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." "Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." I told you this is the part that I like, but I don't think you guys will. But that's okay. We go and we take this whole message and we encapsulate it now and we go, all right, I have to seek you with my whole heart. Right? And I'll find you. So the onus is on me to seek you, Lord. But I have to understand that when I come to you and you speak to me, the things that you're going to speak to me on are going to be the same things that you've already said to me here in your word, because Jesus is alive and in the word, and that the things that the Holy Spirit will reveal will be those things that Jesus has already said. So he's going to bring me back to him. But here's the caveat, the missing link to this whole entire thing. It's right here in James. We have been scattered and left Jesus alone. And we have done and gone about our lives and gone and created all the things that we have around us and all the static, the noise, the distance that we've created and generated that allows us to no longer really hear what the Lord is saying as much as we should or need to in this present time. And so we run into these areas where we fall into these trials, difficult situations. And the majority of these things, we come into them, and what's our immediate run to go? What do we do? Lord, I need help because I'm in a trial that I don't really like. And James tells us that these trials are for what? The testing of your faith. And what is, again, faith? Faith is the absence of things, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. But again, if we even go further, that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So here's what's even greater in this. The testing of your faith that these trials are producing is your ability to do what? Hear. To hear. To hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you are, again, in a trial, the whole point of the trial is to get you to go and press into God, but not for the thing you think it is. Because here's the issue. At this very moment, when we come into that place where we go to God, we got two options. And I'm going to redirect you back to exactly what the Bible says. It says the testing of your faith, right? And then it says again, going down a little bit further, but let him ask in faith. Do you think, I want to point this out. How interesting is this terminology? Ask in what? Faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. Yet, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I'm asking, I need to hear. Now, here's where this gets tricky. And I hope everybody's really listening and taking notes. If you're asking absence of faith, you're asking first and hoping afterward. But if you're asking in faith, you already know what to ask for because you already heard, and you heard it through the word. So you're asking in agreement what the word has already told you to ask for. I'm going to give you a clue about how to speak in the dominion and the authority of things of God. If you agree with what God has already said, you can already lay claim to it, because God is not a liar. He will not go against himself. If you need to pray victory over something, pray the Bible. If you need to pray for declaration in your life, pray the Bible. Why? Because Jesus is the word, and that faith that you are professing is not based off of what you want, but it's based off of what he has already said. So now we take that and we bring it into full alignment with everything that God is producing and saying to us. If we are not hearing the word of God and we are not hearing and allowing that trial, that thing that is happening, to steer us not to the "I need help, God," but to the "Hey God, how did you tell me already how to deal with this?" So that I can ask in agreement with what you have already said. Because that testing of that faith is to bring you into a new place. You want to hear God? You need to invest in Him. You want to hear God? You have to know that when you are talking and you are speaking, that you know the voice of the Lord because you already know how He speaks. You know how He talks. You know what He's already said. It's very simple. I love that verse that says, God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He has not changed. He has not changed. In the Son, He has not changed. In the Holy Spirit, He has not changed. The three are one. We have this propensity to believe that God has changed and all of the things that are going on around the world and happening around your life are important to God. Newsflash, they aren't, because this is what's important to Him. He already told you. He already told you. And here's the big final coup de grace. The real reason why the church doesn't want to hear what God has to say is because they already kind of know and they don't want to do it. They kind of already know, but they don't want to do it. This is a real rude awakening, church. But the reality of it is, do you know why the prophets had such a hard time in the Old Testament? People didn't want to do it. People didn't want to do it. Do you know why the church today struggles immensely? Because the people don't want to do it. But if we're really serious about who we are and what God wants to do, and we're really serious about the church doing the things that God has called the church to do, it's going to require us to get on the same page with God, which is, I want to do what you want. And I'm going to find out what you actually want me to do. And I'm going to be open to hearing what you actually want me to do. And I'm going to believe by faith, because I have already seen what you said and what you want to do. And I'm going to agree with that, so that when I ask you to do it, you're not going against yourself. And I'm not asking with my selfish motives or my selfish intentions. I'm not asking for God to do things for me every day and not having a care or a lick to hear what He wants me to do for Him. We've kind of heard a little bit about that message before, when Pop used to say, there's two people, one that comes with a list of things they want God to do and the other group that comes with a blank list and asks God, what do you want me to do? Right? It's similar, but the big difference between these two, and the understanding that really wasn't fully there in the beginning, but the fullness of that understanding now, really isn't about coming to God with a list that's blank and empty and filled out. No, it's coming with a list that's already filled out with the things He already told you to do. And just going, what would you like me to do first? I'm in agreement with everything you've told me. I just need to know. What would you like me to do today? What would you like me to do right now? What would you like me to do? And how would you like me to do it? How would you like me to move? How would you like me to go? This is the missing part of the church. There's more that's missing, believe me. But to me, this is so key. And how we approach everything else. Think about it. Think about worship for just a minute. Which, just as a heads up, that's next week. Think about worship. Think about the time we spend before the Lord. Are we spending it before for our own self? Or are we spending it to give him the glory he's due? That in of itself sets the record on whether or not you're hearing him or you're hearing other things. The church has a little bit of work to do, in my opinion, but this particular area, this particular point, this is key. Because we can profess all day long that we hear God. And we can profess all day long. And some of you will honestly even tell me, and I've had conversations with some of you, I struggle. I'm having a hard time hearing his voice. What do I tell you? If any of you want to confess to that conversation, that's fine. If you don't want to confess to that conversation, I'll speak on your behalf. Generally, the answer is, I really don't spend a lot of time with him. Well, that would be a good reason as to why you're not hearing now, isn't it? It's hard to hear a voice that you don't even know is his. But I'm encouraged by one factor. The factor I am encouraged by is the reality that everybody here does hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Where we need to do better is not relying on me to be the only supplier. Amen? Amen. So, Father, thank you. And I pray, Lord, that the word that you've given your people today will hit us and impact us in a way that it would stir up this desire, this thirst, this hunger, this passion, this zeal, God, for your word. To know your voice, to be able to recognize it in an instant, to see how you are pursuing us and continuing to reach into our hearts and reach into our lives to get our attention, to draw us closer to you, God. That everything you are doing is because there is something so much greater than right now and us at this place. And what you are doing and how you are doing it. Everything in your hands, everything by your instruction, everything by your word. When we put that to test through faith and we believe and we hear what you are saying and we agree with you, God, you do miraculous things. And so I'm praying for a revival of the miraculous, that as the people of God grasp your word and agree with what you are saying, your will be done. That is what we are after, church. So I pray, Lord, that you would do this. You would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.